veteran actor Albert Finney portrays Wilberforce's preacher and mentor, John Newton. Their relationship bolstered Wilberforce throughout his tireless struggle.
John Newton became, by Wilberforce's own admission in later life, a father figure for him.
John Newton was a slave trader, trafficking thousands of men, women, and children from Africa to the auction blocks. In 1748, a violent storm threatened to sink his ship.
And when he was about 45 or so, he had a crisis of conscience.
And the cry of his heart echoed the cries from the slaves.
I'm the last person you should come to for advice. I can't even say the name of any of my ships without being back on board them in my head.
The seasoned sailor made a promise to God that if he survived, he would change his ways.
I wish I could remember all their names, my 20,000 ghosts.
He dedicated his life to his faith as a preacher and author of hymns. In 1772, Newton wrote a hymn called Faith's Review and Expectation, and it became one of the most popular songs in the history of the world, the most recognizable and most recorded, a song now known as Amazing Grace. This song has had the power to give hope to the hopeless and soften the hearts of the hardened.
The first time I heard it, I associated it with the American South and sort of allied to the sort of spirituals. And I'm sure it was a Baptist choir or something that I heard singing it and thought what an amazing piece of work it was. And had assumed that it was African-American, so it was quite a surprise.
Amazing Grace was sung by both sides in the American Civil War and used as a requiem by the Cherokee Indians on the Trail of Tears. Civil rights protesters sang it defiantly during freedom marches and on that sweltering August day when Martin Luther King shared his dream. The hymn rang out when Nelson Mandela was freed from prison and when the Berlin Wall came crumbling down. And on September the 11th, Amazing Grace was sung to comfort a mourning world. It reminds us of a God of mercy who still lights the way of the lost and the blind.
Greetings and blessings, faithful followers of bbtemple.org, also known as Bartimaeus Baptist Temple, worldwide. While our precious Pris recoups from knee surgery, I am delighted to bring this special request, Bible study suggested by our also precious Mama Ruth, who wanted for us to talk about Amazing Grace. We can do that, Mama Ruth. There's a pretty fun factoid in that little clip that you just watched about the song, about the hymn Amazing Grace. And that was the original title of it. Did you catch that? It was 1 Chronicles 17, 16 through 17, Faith, Review, and Expectation. Kind of rolls off the tongue. Well, not so much. But that short video clip gives us a glimpse of the history behind the hymn. And a rich history it is. And today, we look at a key verse which gives us a head explanation of grace, but then we take a closer look for our life application. So, let's go to the book as I readjust here. Where am I? Where am I going? What am I doing? All right, here we go. Holder of the golden clicker, if you would. Change that slide. And this, today's focus scripture is found in the New Testament, book of 1 Timothy, written by the Apostle Paul. And it reads, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Amen and amen. Now, grace is defined as unmerited favor. That is, you didn't earn it, and you don't deserve it. Paul, the Apostle Paul, openly admits he's a sinner, not just a plain, ordinary sinner. No, no. He is the foremost sinner, the winner of sinners. Although that's not a competition you really want to win, do you know? And though unworthy, was yet shown mercy as an example for all who would believe. For all who would believe, amen. Now, you find the word grace mentioned in the Bible many, many times. And there are a few references in the Old Testament, but most of them do, in fact, appear in the New Testament and can be attributed to Paul. Oddly enough, the word grace is only mentioned in the Gospels 7 times, once in Luke, the other 6 times in the book of John. And just a little interesting, awesome side note of something that while I was preparing, I looked at verse after verse after verse, and I finally settled on the one that we just read in 1 Corinthians, which is Paul basically saying that he's unworthy of grace, which amazingly, speaking of amazing grace, is exactly what David said, King David said in 1 Chronicles, right? The Old Testament passage that inspired the hymn. How awesome is that? Boy, when you do a little digging, even a little bit of digging in the Bible, you shall be richly rewarded indeed. So do it. Dig into it. And yet either verse just seemed to fall short of capturing just how truly amazing grace is. So, here's what we're going to do next. We're going to take a life application. And we're going to go back to the hymn. Let's go back to the hymn, shall we? Oh, holder of the golden clicker, change that slide if you would be so kind. Thank you. So what's so amazing about grace? Answer, it saved a wretch like me. And if you peruse YouTube, you will find renditions of this hymn. Everyone from Whitney Houston to Elvis Presley, even Barack Obama. If that floats your boat. Now clearly the grace, regardless of who's singing, shines through this hymn. That's the power of it. And just reading the stanza is a deep, rich Bible study all by itself. And we all know the first verse. And we all pretty much can sing it by heart. But sadly, we don't normally sing one of the latter verses. In fact, this verse is omitted from our trusty 91 Baptist hymnal. And it reads, "Yea, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace." Oops, don't tell Don that there's an extra verse. Well, too late. Too late, he already knows. But seriously, people, what's the takeaway for today? Why are we even studying this? Here's the takeaway. Rejoice! Or in the words of a repentant sinner named John Newton, who penned Amazing Grace for all of the rest of us. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amen. Now, normally I close with a prayer, but if possible, I would like to ask Mama Ruth to close us in prayer, as I would do if I were there in person. So, hopefully, Beloved has cleared this up front, and I simply will turn it over to Mama Ruth. Take it away, Mama Ruth, indeed.